Yeah, people learn Seita between Mincha, between, yeah, but now we're learning Halacha instead. Okay, back to the Mlacha of Baina. Okay, of construction. Okay, last time we were talking like this. last time we were talking about the toilets. To plunge the toilet, if you're allowed to. We said it's better not to, unless if there's no other facility, then you could. Putting back the hook, the chain inside the toilet tank, you're not allowed to, but you can flush it by picking up the thing manually.
What about having the electric toilet? Like on Vegas and
all those places. There's a big, okay, that's not for now. That's not Bainet. That's a different problem with Shabbos, what to do with the electric toilets. And bottom line, if there's nothing else to use, you're allowed to use them. That's the bottom line. Okay, next.
If there are, if babies put wipes in the toilet.
Babies?
Like kids.
Yeah, or adults,
if
yeah.
If you take those out, is that bitter?
Bitter? No, because it's very noticeable. It's not mixed together, it's noticeable. So that wouldn't be a problem. You have to be careful with schita. When you take it out, you're going to be screwed. Yeah, I'm just saying you have to be careful with it. So you have to hold it in a way that you're not squeezing it. Okay, now, if a sink strainer is not a problem to take in and out because it's made to put in and out. What happens if a sink faucet falls off on Shabbos? The faucet falls off. So you're not allowed to fix it on Shabbos, even to put it back loosely. Not even screw it on tight. Just to put it back loosely is already called Baina. Why? Because the sink's connected to the ground. To the building, and that's all. By the way, there's another interesting thing we didn't even get to yet, and that is normally the din, there's no binyan by kalim, there's no construction by vessels. But if it's it's a big vessel, which is halacha is one amma by three ammas, which is basically 2 feet by 2 feet by 6 feet. Which means, no, it's not so big. A refrigerator is bigger than that. Basically, by the way, it's the size of a mikveh. Amma by amma, b'raim shalosh amas. How big does a mikveh have to be, the rainwater of the mikveh? It has to be basically 24 cubic feet of water. Because it's one amma, and you machmer, there'll be a 2 feet. By one amma is another 2 feet. By three ammas is 6 feet. So it's 2 times 2 times 6. So it's 24 cubic feet. A thing that's 24 cubic feet, like a big bookcase for that matter, or things like that, that has a din not of kalim anymore. So then we'll get to the details of it. You can't replace things on Shabbos. It's all...
Can you move it
around?
Can you move it like a bookcase sometimes, or something fell underneath a bookcase. You want to move it?
What? Like a door of the bookcase fell off?
No, not the door. Just a whole bookcase. Something went...
A whole bookcase fell down?
No.
So what happened?
A book fell down. If you want to move the bookcase to get the book.
Yeah, you're allowed to move the bookcase.
Okay.
If you have kreach to do it.
Of course.
All right. Okay, but sink covers he can't. Putting down carpet on Shabbos is called Baina on Shabbos, he can't.
He cannot.
Cannot.
Carpet?
Can't put down carpet on Shabbos, wall-to-wall carpet. Rugs, you mean? That you could put down. Because those things are not made necessarily to stay there forever. You move them around. But like wall-to-wall carpet that you put down, that's basically made to permanent. Also, like, 1 second. Let's say you have a baby swing. The baby swings that connect to the door frame with clips or something. So because they're made to take up and down, like we learned already, so then there's not in the of a baina. But if it be a permanent thing, you wouldn't be able to do it. What? Okay, we're coming to that in a second. Now, what happens if furniture breaks, let's say? Okay? So for instance, what exactly does the now? Replacing shelves or pegs in a small bookcase. Because... Okay, we'll come to the refrigerator in a second. Most of it is the same thing. Now, you could put back Now, you can't initially put pegs in a bookcase for the first time. Let's say you had Friday, you got a bookcase delivered, and now Shabbos afternoon, you're bored, so you want to put up the shelves. So you want to stick the pegs into the holes and then put the shelves. That you're not allowed to do. Huh? Not in Makab Patish, it's also Baina. It's Makab Patish plus it's Baina. It's two malachas, basically. You're right. Now, because it's a small utensil, it's not a bookcase that, I'm talking about a small bookcase, not a bookcase that's 24 cubic feet. A smaller bookcase. So then, and the pegs are made to hold loosely, they usually don't, they're not tight. So then, again, it's not called Baina in Kalim because you're talking about building utensils, not a problem. But only if the bookcase wasn't attached to the wall. If, let's say, for earthquake purposes, you connect the bookcase to the wall, even if it's small, then again, because it's connected to the wall, it has a din of a not of a keli, it has a din of the structure, and then you can't put anything in there. You can't put the pegs in, you can't fix the shelves in there, because then you're doing construction in something connected to the ground, which is the Melacha Baina.
Oh, now, is there any precedence of going back to the source and then relying on dissenting opinion to modify the decree or the prohibition?
No, he's not looking for leniency. He wants to change the law.
Could you rephrase the question?
Rephrase the question is, do we have to do what the Torah says, or can we just change it and do what we want?
No.
I know what you said. I know what you said. So let me tell you something.
Recorded discussion, so and there were authorities of high esteem that had different opinion. Can you go back and say, well, in perspective,
We cannot do that. Yeah. 1 minute, I'll tell you something. That if you look in the Mishnah, you always find, like, these are the words of Rabbi Meir, but the rabbis differ. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda, but the rabbis differ. Correct? You find that often in Mishnah. So it's discussed in Sforim that why did Rabbi put the minority opinion? If the halacha is anyway like the majority opinion, that's the rule, the majority opinion rules. So why did Rebbe, what's the point of him putting Rabbi Meir's opinion, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Rabbi Akiva's opinion, if the halacha is not like them anyway? So I said, listen. So the reason for that is because one day somebody's going to come along and say, you know, the Chachamim thought that way, but I think differently. I think better. And if they would have known my opinion, they would have changed their minds. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi put the minority opinion. That means what you thought, somebody thought about already. Don't worry about it. They're just as smart as you. And the majority opinion disagrees, and therefore, tough luck. The halacha thing, that's why he put the minority opinion. That somebody shouldn't think, oh, if I would have been there, they would have listened to me. That's number one. Number two, once the Mishnah, there are errors in halacha. Once a Mishnah rules, the Gemara cannot argue on the Mishnah. Once the Gemara rules, the Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam cannot argue on the Gemara. Once the Rishonim ruled, the Achareinim cannot argue on them. You understand? So you can't just say, let's go back to the source and over there was a different opinion and let's use that opinion to say this and this. It doesn't work like that. Once the halacha is ruled, that's it.
What if it wasn't the minority opinion?
But the halacha is always like the majority opinion.
Always.
I mean, but most of the time, in halacha.
In Rambam, it says the halacha, but says that in this case, Rambam is different from Gemara.
Yeah, but there's an explanation what the Rambam source is in a different Gemara to say what he says. The Rambam can't argue on Gemara.
No, he's not arguing.
And he doesn't argue on Gemara. What it is, the question is, the Gemara says one thing, how can the Rambam say differently? So the answer is, the Rambam had a different thing in the Gemara, meaning the source of the Rambam was a different Gemara that refutes that Gemara.
Also,
yes, or the Gemara means in a particular case, not in this case, but in that case. That the Rishonim were able to do, but they can't argue on a Gemara. What?
Every
Gemara rules more leniently towards one person than another, according to their status. No.
According
to the niche, right?
So they don't
have to bend Torah. In halacha, there are guidelines. Even look throughout Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, if you look, learn Smicha, throughout Shulchan Aruch, big Shulchan Aruch, any Shulchan Aruch, they'll bring down an argument. And then they'll say, okay, the halacha is like this and this opinion. But in a place of loss of money, then you're allowed to be lenient. Sometimes halacha will say, b'mokim hefzid, in a place of loss of money. That means halacha is saying that if there's a loss of money, you could rule like this. Sometimes halacha says, no, the hefzid meruba, if it's a big loss of money. That's tamah loss. But that halacha itself is giving that guideline, not what we say. That's number one. Number two, when there are different opinions, you can't say, okay, the Gemara says you're not allowed to do it, but this person is not religious, so I'm going to tell him he could do it. That doesn't work like that. You can't do that. If there are many opinions, different opinions in contemporary halacha, okay, or even earlier in halacha, there are people that are lenient, opinions that are lenient, and sometimes a person's beginning Yiddishkeit, they're late, what's called the late beginners, they're starting Yiddishkeit late, they're not 100%, and if you go too strict with them, they'll drop the whole thing.
That's what I mean.
Okay, so then it's not that the rabbi is changing halacha for this person. He's just saying that because there are many, many opinions, reliable opinions, that say you could do it, so even though in your particular personal life you're strict, you could be lenient for them, because there's a basis in halacha to be lenient. But nobody could say, okay, because the person wants to come to shul, and if he comes to shul, he'll, you know, get involved in Yiddishkeit, therefore, he's allowed to drive on Shabbos. No rabbi will tell you that. Because there's no opinion in the world that holds halachic opinion that says you could drive on Shabbos.
But even when you want to be lenient for such a person, you have to find it within halacha.
That's what I'm saying. Not, you can't say, okay, you want to be lenient, let him drive. You have to find within halacha that there are reliable opinions. But you can't rule against Shulchan Aruch. You can't rule against Shulchan Aruch for somebody who to be lenient. But if there's opinions, let's say, between A, B, C, D, right? And there's certain times Alter Rebbe is machmir, okay? And I personally, for certain people, will be makel, because there's a lot of other opinions that say you could be lenient. And this person's not there yet. Okay? That doesn't mean I'm going against Alter Rebbe. It doesn't mean that that you're halachically incorrect. There are opinions that say you could be meikel. And certain times you need to be meikel within the confines of halacha. But not to come along and say, okay, we want to get the guy to come to get involved in Yiddishkeit. Okay, drive to shul on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. What?
Historically, Sephardic rabbis had more leeway
not true.
They did consider that the distinction between they always considered.
Where did you get that from?
I read it somewhere. Okay.
Where did you read it?
Where did you get yours?
I'm showing you in Sfarim what it says.
Okay.
I want to see where it says that Sfaradic rabbis had leeway
you
to
didn't
change.
Let me finish. You didn't let me finish.
Okay, finish.
They had to consider the majority of their community, if they knew that if they will insist on certain rule that is not in concert with the majority of the tradition, they had the leeway to
only work when it's within the realm of halacha.
Yeah.
No Sephardic rabbi, no Sephardic rabbi is going to say because the majority of the community drives to shul on Shabbos, therefore we're going to say you could drive to shul on Shabbos. There's no such thing. Unless he's not religious.
They're not rabbis if they do.
No. If they do, yeah.
I'm saying that they take into consideration.
Well, so do we. Everybody does. Halacha always does. Okay. But you say, you sound like you're disagreeing with what I'm saying. If it's within the confines of halacha.
Okay.
Under certain circumstances, you could be lenient.
Never in full clash of this.
Okay. What?
Are we allowed to invite people to our house if we know we're going to drive in Shabbat?
If they're in walking distance, yes, because then you're not, they're not driving because of you, because as far as you're concerned, they can walk. Or, halachically, if you give them the opportunity to sleep over, and you say you're invited for the whole Shabbos, and you give them the opportunity to sleep over, then they don't, and yet they're not driving because of you. Okay.